Well, we've enjoyed our visit up this way. It's been a time of real blessing. I've enjoyed so much the ministry of Brother David Long. He certainly knows this book. And I told my wife, I wish I had a while to hang around Brother Long and just pick his brains a bit. I'd love to get his views on everything I've ever discussed with him in the Word. It's just been wonderful. And the saints have been so gracious. We just feel at home here. And it's a blessing to share with the saints in the things of God. I was here about, I guess, 5 or 6 years ago with the tabernacle here in this chapel. And it was certainly a happy time then. I hope that tonight that the Lord will speak to our hearts through His Word as we look at a character in the Bible and see His character. And that man is Caleb. Will you turn, please, to Numbers chapter 14, and you find a parallel passage about him in Joshua 14. So it's easy to remember where we find Caleb in Numbers 14, verse 6 to verse 10, and then again in verse 24 of that chapter. Numbers 14, verse 6, we'll read there, and we'll also refer to portions in Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 13. Numbers 14, verse 6, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were of them that searched the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is a very good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. And their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation demanded to stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation, before all the children of Israel. Verse 24, But my servant Caleb, God is speaking, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. The name Caleb means a dog. And some people might shrink at the very thought of such a thing, because some people think of scriptures in which we see symbols of filth and the profane. But we have to remember that the figures or symbols in the Word of God have more than one meaning. For example, in 1 Peter 5:8, we see a lion, and he is a symbol of the devil. Your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But we see the lion again in Revelation 5 and verse 5, Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. And there it's the Lord. So it's very obvious that a symbol in the Word of God can represent good and bad. It just depends upon the context. And the context here shows us that it's a dog, Caleb, a dog in the good sense. And I can certainly remember a dog in a good sense. You know, I feel sorry for anybody that has never had a dog. There's something special about a dog, even a bird. It's I remember we got so attached to our little bird called Higgins. That's the name my wife gave him. That little bird could say John 3:16 perfectly. And he would say, Jesus loves me, this I know, tells me so. He couldn't quite get in the Bible, but he would say, tells me so. And he was an amazing preacher. And I got so attached to that little bird that I began to wonder if I was losing my marbles. And so I was glad when I found the scriptures in which I see that he cares for the sparrow. And not one falls to the ground without him. I believe God gave us these creatures to enjoy them, to learn things. To learn emotions and feelings that we might not even enjoy otherwise. I remember so often sitting in the den in the wintertime in Augusta where we lived, and we had an open fireplace there, and my wife loved an open fire. Well, I didn't love it too much because I had to bring in the wood and build a fire and then take out the ashes, and yet I came to enjoy it too. And we would sit there reading whatever in the evening before that fire, and so many times I would see our little dog looking up in the face of my wife, sitting there at the foot of her chair and just gazing into her eyes. Just pure worship. That dog didn't want a thing. It was in seventh heaven just to be in the presence of Helen and to look into her face. And I would clear my throat or say it in French or do something so I wouldn't distract the dog, and just wanting my wife to see that adoration that that dog had for her. And did you know that Strong explains the word worship in the Word of God? He defines the word proskuneo is from pros, meaning towards, and kuneo from the noun kuon, meaning a dog. A dog towards. That's worship. That was worship which I was seeing in that dog. What a lovely name, then, this is for this man. Obviously, a man devoted to the Lord, worshiping Him. But there's another quality characteristic of a dog. If you had a dog at your home today, and you came to meeting, you either had to have trained him well, or else you had to lock him up. Because he would have followed you right here. That's just the characteristic of a dog. When I was a child, we were brought up in the Baptist church. My father was a Baptist pastor, and our neighbors went to the same church. They had a beautiful collie. I've always had a tender spot for a collie. There's something about a collie that really appeals to me. And I dearly love that dog. We'd go to church, as we said, on Sunday. And that family would go, and we would go to the same place. And I remember telling that collie, now you stay here, you stay here. And they would lecture him and thunder at him. And then they would drive off. And it was 3 miles to church. And then we would come out of church, and there was that dog. He was sitting by the car, waiting for his master. And that was every Sunday, hot or cold, rain or shine, the dog followed his master. Well, years passed, and then one day we came out of church, and we didn't see the dog. And we all wondered, where in the world could he be? And as we drove home, we saw that dog lying by the roadside. It had died following his master to church. That's the nature of a dog. It worships. It follows. It's devoted. What a lovely name, Caleb, a dog. And you know, this man had a terrific testimony as to that being his very character. He had a good testimony with others. One of them in particular, and if you want to follow it, it's in Joshua 14, verse 9. Here is a man speaking of Caleb, and that man is Moses. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine, thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. He had a good testimony with others. And oh my, how important that is to you and me, dear Christian, that others might be able to say of us, he, she, wholly follows the Lord. Oh, our testimony by lip means nothing if it's not backed up with a life of following the Lord. How important that we not fail our Lord in the eyes of others. How important that our children, our loved ones, see Christ in us, and that we be those that are being changed into that same image from glory to glory as we go on here below. Oh, that others might say, he wholly followed the Lord. But he had a good testimony with someone else besides those outside. He had a good testimony with himself. Because in Joshua 14:8, here we see Caleb himself speaking. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of this people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Now he's not bragging, he's just stating the facts. Sometimes there's such a thing as false humility. The Apostle Paul didn't have false humility. He said in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 4, I know nothing against myself. Can you say that? Can I say that? I know nothing. That doesn't mean he's saying I've never failed. I can't remember any sins I've ever, certainly not. But he is saying, my heart and my life is an open book to the Lord. And as far as I know, I'm totally committed to him. Totally surrendered to his will. And I am doing what I feel he wants me to do. My life, my all, is his. I'm sure that's what he's saying. I know nothing against myself. And yet he adds, yet herein am I not justified. That doesn't prove that everything's okay and that I've arrived. For he that judges me is the Lord. Yes, he was careful. He knew that there was probably some lacks. And so he covered that in the latter part of his statement. But he could say honestly, I don't know anything against myself. Can you say that, Christian? Can I say that? As far as I know, I'm where the Lord wants me. I'm doing what he wants me to do. And I want his whole will for me, whatever it is. And I'm laying all that I am and have at His feet. How could we say anything less when He gave all for you and me? I wholly followed the Lord, my God, He said. But He has another witness to the fact that He wholly followed the Lord. It's in verse 14 of Joshua. Joshua 14 and verse 14. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord his God. Who's talking now? It's not God talking. It's not Caleb talking. It's not Moses talking. It's the Scripture talking. This is just a statement of Scripture, that's all. So the Scripture bears witness to the fact that he wholly followed the Lord. Do we realize that pretty soon we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, each one of us, separately? For it defines it so precisely. It says, not every man, but each one of us. You can't get any more individual than that, can you? Each. And it repeats it again and again. Each of us shall give an account of himself to God. That's going to be an awesome day, isn't it? When we stand there, and not as a whole, not as a great group, though I believe all will be there to behold, and your name will be called. And you'll step forward, and he will take his word and test your work for him. 1 Corinthians 3, let's look at it, because there are details there that we need to take account of, I believe. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13. It literally says, the work of each shall be made manifest. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall test every man or the work of each of what sort it is. If anyone's work abide, which he has built upon it, that is, upon this foundation of Christ Jesus, he shall receive a reward. If anyone's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. I believe this fire is the word of God, for he speaks of his word as being a fire. And fire in the word of God does test. So here I think it's telling us that God is going to test the work of each one of us. You notice here it's not the works. Four times he uses the word work in these three verses, and every time it's in the singular. It's the work of each one. Yes, it's true, the works are going to be rewarded also. But here the point is, it's the whole bent of your ministry to the Lord. Man, woman, boy, or girl. Where did you put your weight? That's one of the scriptures that made me have to break my own dear father's heart, crush him, by leaving the denomination in which he was pastor and in which I was a pastor, because I realized my work, the bent of my ministry, was going to be tried with this book. And it was going to bear witness either for this work that I have done or against it. And I would either receive my reward for building according to the book, or I would lose my reward because I didn't build according to the book. How important as to our choice as to where we are going to put our weight, whether it's little or much. What is it building? Where we support and help and labor for the Lord, is it according to the Word of God? Oh, how careful we should be, and that's exactly his point here. Let everyone take heed how he builds thereupon. And we can lose our reward because the scriptures in that day will say you didn't build according to it is written. The Word of God is going to witness as to you and me whether we wholly followed the Lord. But he had still another witness, and that's back in Numbers 14 and verse 24, which we read separately a moment ago. Numbers 14 and verse 24. God is speaking. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. God is speaking there. And he's telling Moses, I want to be sure that Caleb receives this portion of the land because he wholly followed me. What a testimony. And do you realize that you and I, dear Christian, can have this testimony also? Wouldn't it be wonderful to stand before that judgment seat and hear our wonderful Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. That would be worth 10,000 lives, even if we suffered every step of the way, to hear him say those wonderful words, all that will make it worth it all. He, God, said, he has wholly followed me. May the Lord be able to say that of you and of me. Caleb started well, didn't he? There in Numbers 14, we see when the 10 of the 12 spies who went into the land of Canaan and spied out the land and came back bringing some of the fruit of it, a bunch of grapes on a pole, two men carrying it, imagine, so big. What fruit in that land? And they said, yes, it's true, it's a wonderful land, flowing with milk and honey. But it's a land of giants, and the walls are formidable, and we are not able to take it. And the heart of the people melted, and they mourned as they turned away. But Caleb and Joshua tore their garments when they saw the unbelief of the people, and they said, yes, it's true what they say. But if God delight in us, he will give us the land. And he has turned away from these people, and he is for us, and they are therefore bread to us. We can take them. And they pled with the people, and the people began to gather up stones to stone Joshua and Caleb. And suddenly, the cloud of glory came down at the gate of the tabernacle. And that's all that delivered Caleb and Joshua that day. But they stood well, didn't they? Joshua began faithful to the Lord. And he continued well. In Joshua 14 again, we read in verse 11, here he is 40 years later, and he says to Joshua, who's now the captain of the host, Moses having been buried, Joshua 14:11, Caleb says, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. 40 years later, and really, I believe God performed a miracle. I believe he slowed down the aging process in Caleb, because 85 years old was still old even then. It was old. And yet, he says, my strength is now as it was then for war. He wasn't ready to take a vacation and move to Florida and put his feet up and watch the sea come in and go out. I can't imagine ending my life like that. Can you? Oh, to be going on, to continue. He continued well. And listen to what he says. Verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. He wasn't ready to retire. He wanted a mountain. He didn't even say, give me this plain. There were plenty of that type of territory around too. But he said, give me this mountain. And notice what was there. The Anakim are there. The giants. And he says, and the cities are great and fortified. And yet that's what he wanted. At 85 years of age, he wanted a mountain of giants. He was still in the warfare of the Lord. And in the Christian life, we never retire. We go on until he says, our course is finished, and takes us home. He ended well. He not only started well and continued well, but he ended well. We read in Joshua 14:14 that Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb. Hebron meaning fellowship. Oh, God is no man's debtor. And he proves it over and over and over. And as you and I follow him, what blessed fellowship. What a life of blessing. Oh, how the Christian reaps what he sows. Positively, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The fruit of living for God is eternal fruit. And in Joshua 15, verse 14, we read, and Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak, that is, the giants. He not only spoke well, saying that he wanted to take that mountain, but he did it. The scripture says he drove them out. What a man. What a life. What a reward. And oh, to envy Caleb in a godly envy and say, Lord, make me a Caleb by your grace. Shall we bow in the word of prayer? Our Father, we thank thee for giving us people in thy word that speak to us, that warn us in some cases, and challenge us in others. As in the case of Caleb, oh God, help us to know what devotedness is, to know what true worship of our Lord is, to be so delighted in Him that we are just wholly thrilled with Him and to be all for Him. And, oh God, to follow Him. As Peter said, He left us an example that we should follow His steps. How we need Thy grace to follow that Blessed One, to live as He lived, to walk as He walked. Oh God, give us the grace. Save us from ourselves. Save us from whatever would take us away from this path of devotion to our glorious Lord. We ask that this word might speak to each of our hearts. Thy Spirit might do His work in each one of us and renew us in our purpose to totally follow Him. We ask it in His precious name. Amen.